If you'd like to follow along with the scripture reading, it's on page 7 in your bulletin. And the text I'm using this morning is the 11th verse there, the last sentence of that first paragraph. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. But the whole context is set in the second coming of Christ that Paul's teaching about that. So I'm doing the verses around that to kind of give us a sense of the context. So. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night nor the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Please join me in prayer. Oh God, as we look at this wonderful gift you've given us of encouragement, guide my thoughts, all of our thoughts, watch over my words. Lord, let them be faithful to what you have in mind for us this morning. And we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will help us to become the kind of encouraging people that you've called us to be through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. National speaker and evangelist Ron Hutchcraft, on one of his radio spots that you've perhaps heard on Christian radio stations, tells about an incident when his son Doug was about 5 years old, he'd recruited Doug to go out and help him in the yard, doing some yard work, and he showed Doug how to pull weeds out of the flower bed. And so Doug was to be pulling weeds out of the flower bed while Ron was running the lawnmower, mowing the lawn. And Ron said he was mowing, and he looked at Doug over there just so diligently working so hard, pulling these weeds, and he just gave him a big smile and then kept going on. And in a couple of minutes, Doug was standing beside him and saying something. Ron couldn't hear because it was the sound of the mower, so he shut off the mower and said, "What is it, Doug?" And Doug said, "Daddy, could you do that again?" And Ron said, well, what again? And Doug said, "Daddy, could you smile at me again? That's what keeps me going." Wow, the power of an encouraging smile. We've all felt the power of encouragement, haven't we, in our lives? Maybe as adults we aren't quite so open about asking for it, but we know the renewed energy that it gives to us, don't we? We might be feeling like giving up or like nobody appreciates this, and why keep going, why keep doing this, and on and on. And then somebody comes by with just a really encouraging word, just saying how much it means to them, and it's just like a cool breeze on a fresh day. You think, oh, wow, and you feel energized to go on again. The truth is we all need encouragement, and we soak it up like a sponge. Jean Houston, who's an author, speaker, you perhaps read some of her stuff, she says that perhaps encouragement is the greatest and single most powerful gift that God has ever given us. Nothing seems to impact our lives as much as encouragement. Now, I think that's a little bit of an overstatement maybe, but it does forcefully highlight the importance and the power of encouragement. It is powerful, and it does have a tremendous impact in our lives, doesn't it? Well, our text is this admonition from 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, and to encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing, that the church at Thessalonica was doing. And this is a familiar theme in the New Testament. There are 39 places of the New Testament where it talks about encouraging one another. And for most of us, I kind of expect it's an underused gift. And so this morning, with the guidance of this scripture and thinking, focusing on this, on encouragement, I'm hoping to kind of stimulate a little bit more in your thinking, and that the Holy Spirit will creatively show us ways in which we can be utilizing this gift in our lives, among those that we love and live around. First of all, encouragement gives us courage. If you just break encouragement apart into the prefix and the N, courage, I mean, it gives courage. It gives strength. It gives support. Are there any of us that don't need that? We all need that, don't we? And maybe you're familiar, well, I'm sure you're familiar with the song Home, Home on the Range. The lyrics are kind of silly when you get, especially that chorus, where seldom is heard a discouraging word and the skies are not cloudy all day. I mean, you know, it doesn't square with reality. Even on the range, the skies get cloudy and there's lots of discouraging words. But did you hear the one about the buffalo that were grazing out on the range, and where the deer and the antelope play, and a cowboy rode up to this group of buffalo, and he jumped off his horse. He got right in the face of one of the buffalo. He said, "You're the sorriest excuse I've ever seen for a buffalo. Your hair is matted, it's dirty, and you stink." And he jumped on his horse and rode off. The buffalo turned to his neighbor and said, "I think I just heard a discouraging word." Unfortunately, our world is full of discouraging words. In fact, it seems like intimidation in our culture is in, criticism is in, affirmation is out. And do you ever get weary of the way that the media tends to just focus on the negative? They want to tear down anyone in high position or who is an honorable position or whatever. They like to find some little thing and start snipping away and tear them down. And we can all of us fall into that same kind of a trap, I think. We're most of us focused on making ourselves look good. We want to be approved by people, and if that means kind of stepping on someone else to elevate us a little bit, it's pretty tempting to kind of do that. Or we do it sometimes even without even thinking about it, of trying to think, you know, how can I look better and not think how it affects somebody else. And we can think twice sometimes about building another person up too much because they might get ahead of us or look better than we. I mean, maybe you're not like that, but we all have those things in our hearts that can kind of hold us back. Well, there's one place that discouraging words never should be heard, and that's in the church. Of course, they should be heard elsewhere either, but wouldn't it be wonderful if in this church fellowship that Paul wrote to you and said the same words and encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing, that this is a place where people are encouraged and built up. And I trust it is. I don't know you well enough, so I can say that, you know. But this is a wonderful gift that we have in the church to offer each other. The church in Thessalonica, that Paul wrote these words to, was a persecuted church. The story is told in Acts chapter 17. And, you know, that's the time when Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica. And they had to flee in the middle of the night because of the persecution that the Jews stirred up. And it's the place in Acts where there's that wonderful, wonderful accusation brought against Paul and Silas, where they say, these are the men who have turned the world upside down, and they've come here also. And boy, wouldn't we love to have that accusation against us, that we're turning the world upside down. But the Jews stirred up the crowds, so their stay was there. It was very, very brief. It says that he reasoned with them in the synagogue for three Sabbaths. Now I'm assuming that there might have been a little bit of time before those Sabbaths that he reasoned in the synagogue with people there, and certainly during the week. And those 3 weeks, there was a lot going on, I'm sure. But that's an incredibly short time to establish a church. Just a little over 3 weeks, a month, 6 weeks maybe if you want to stretch it out somehow, but but not much to get a church established. And so this is probably the first of all Paul's letters. He had to flee very quickly and didn't have much chance to be with them. And so this is a letter written to them to encourage them, probably within months of his having to leave them. And the word encourage is sprinkled throughout this letter, six different places. And our text begins by the connective word, therefore. And it connects to the teaching about Jesus' return. The larger context that I read refers to Christ's return. Chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians is all about, or at least the last half of that chapter is all about Christ's return. And so he's in the midst of their tough times, Paul is lifting up this this focus that to encourage one another, to keep their eyes fixed on the return of Christ. The end of that teaching about Christ's sudden return in chapter 4, verse 18, he says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. And then, you know, a few verses later in our text, again, this word encourage wants them to be. And the ultimate encouragement, of course, is for us to know that Christ is coming. And when he returns, the injustice, the persecution, the sickness, the evil, all the stuff in this world that is that tends to drag us down and discourage us will be restored. And the goodness, will be eradicated, and the goodness that God created the world to have will be restored. You know, Christian faith at its best has always kept a strong focus on the Lord's return. And we can lose track of that sometimes when our lives are going well and good. But when things get bad, that's when we start thinking about that, don't we? And the brightness of that hope kind of encourages us during those times. And I know it's been my experience. When I'm doing well and everything's hunky-dory and wonderful, I mean, it's heaven on earth kind of a thing. You don't think too much of Christ's return. But then when things go south on you, you start getting to think of that day when Christ will come. And just the other day, I was in my prayers and devotion, I was, you know, praying for someone that I just felt pretty overwhelmed by all that they faced. And it just seemed like the troubles and the problems just keep going on and on and on. And I was just feeling heavy and discouraged. I was reading in 1 Thessalonians and realized, yeah, but that's, Christ is coming. So whether it's the problems are solved in this world or not, or in this time or not, they will be solved. And that's our hope, and that shines bright and encourages us, doesn't it? And so it is just before our text, you know, Paul reminds us of to be self-controlled and put on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God has not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Then a few verses later, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. They're running a tough race. And Paul is just cheering them on, giving them helpful guidance and reminding them, support each other. You're all in this together. It's tough, but give that encouragement. We're a long way, certainly, from the persecution I'm sure that the Thessalonian church faced. But everyone faces a pretty hefty undertow in life. There are words that hurt. There are events that drag us down. There are problems that abound, that everybody deals with. And we all probably feel like we don't measure up to our own expectations. We feel like we fail so much in our own expectations. And I'm sure we got some people around us that we don't come up to their expectations. I mean, there's a lot of things that discourage us, aren't there? And if I were to ask each one of you this morning, you know, what has been discouraging to you this last week? I'm sure without thinking too hard, you could come up with a an incident or two where you felt discouraged, or maybe you feel pretty discouraged this morning, pretty beaten up. We're all in a tough battle. We need to remember that. And everyone you meet is likely in need of a word of encouragement. Criticizing and judging one another is so easy. It seems like it's almost second nature to us, but it's a part of that ugly, fallen nature of ours. There's hardly anything we can't find fault with. That old adage that we shouldn't judge another person until we walked in their shoes a mile or two, or, you know, we need to take that even further. I mean, we're never in a position to judge because we've never been within their skin, within their personality, within their mind, their abilities, who they are. And so we can look at somebody, you know, maybe it's the struggles of a single parent or somebody dealing with depression or handling some betrayal in their lives or the death of a loved one or some financial pressures or whatever, and the list can go on and on. When you think, why did something like that happen to me, and this is what I did, I don't know why they don't. But you don't know what they're dealing with inside and all the brokenness that's in there too. And so we're never in a position to really, really know. And so we need to be careful, and we need to realize only God knows. Only God really, really understands. Sometimes I've met people who are more or less sitting on the sidelines in the church, and I see gifts in them that I kind of encourage them to get involved, to use some of those gifts. And too many times, I've heard them tell me a story about where they stepped out of their comfort zone to do something in the church. They've been cut down with a word of criticism or just a really nasty look of someone. At that point, they decided never to do that again. I'm never going to try that again because of the hurt of that. How sad. Dr. Larry Crabb is a popular national speaker today in the areas of Christian counseling, spiritual direction, teaches at the university level. He tells of an incident when he was a teenager in his home church. This was a church where during the prayer time and the worship service, people were encouraged to give extemporaneous prayers during that prayer time. Well, as a teenager, he had a problem with stuttering and was kind of shy and backward. But one morning, he said he screwed up his courage. He thought, I'm going to, pray out loud in church. And so he started a prayer, and he kind of said he kind of panicked and kind of lost his, got totally confused. And he says he was thanking the Father for hanging on the cross and praising Christ for triumphantly bringing the Spirit from the grave. And says it just got worse. And he finished, he thought he vowed, I'll never, never again try to speak in front of people or pray out loud in a group. At the end of the service, he quickly headed for the door because he didn't want somebody to come and try to straighten out his messed up expression of theology. But one of the elders, Jim Dunbar, caught him before he got out the door. And Larry said, I braced myself for a stern rebuke from this elder in the church. He said, instead he heard Jim say, Larry, there's one thing I want you to know. Whatever you do for the Lord, I'm behind you 1,000%. And Larry reflects in his book, even as I write these words, my eyes fill with tears. I've yet to tell that story to an audience without at least mildly choking. Those words were life words. They had power. They reached deep into my being. Some people just seem to be natural encouragers. I hope you know some of them. And Joel, I sure do. And enjoy being around them. We'll be thinking negatively of somebody or some situation. And they find something positive to build on. And when they say that, from their perspective, they think, why didn't I see that? I mean, they just seem to always be able to pick out those things that can be encouraged in those people. Our own hearts easily block, I think, our role in being an encouraged, our perfectionism or our need to control things cause us to focus on what's wrong, maybe. But isn't that really putting ourselves at the center of our universe when we do that? I think it should meet my specifications. What I think is most important is isn't that really pride? And shouldn't we relinquish our perspective to the Lord in those situations? Maybe he sees it differently. Maybe he's wanting to accomplish something else. And sometimes those closest to us are the ones that we do the most damage to. As parents, I'm sure we've all realized that we can damage our children by trying to shape them into what we want them to be or whatever, or sometimes just out of fear of what might happen, we tend to become overly negative and just don't forget the need for encouragement. In our marriages, we can so easily break the spirit of our spouse through a sharp word or criticism. And sometimes it's our ego that's the problem. Sometimes it's our need to be all kind of control or whatever. But we need to be careful not to be trying to impose our wills. And in a sense, to be able to break it can often cause to break the spirit of another person because it has to be my way, just according to my specifications. When things need to be changed, and of course they do, we need to pray about how to do that with loving respect, kind of conveying a sense of coming alongside that person to help them in what needs to be done. A heart that prays and listens to God to discern the best about another person is crucial if we want to be encouragers. Isn't that what that elder did with Larry Crabb? He saw in Larry a young man who loved God and had a passion to obey God, and in spite of his misgivings, his fears, he had the courage to step out. In spite of his handicap, he stepped out to do something for the Lord, and he picked up on that, and he encouraged him in that. And you just wonder, if that hadn't happened with Larry, what would have become of his life? Well, some people just seem to have it in their nature to kind of see these things and encourage you to other. I think a lot of us have to do some praying about it to discern how we do that. In fact, in Romans 12:8, it's even listed as one of the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of encouragement. And so some of us need to pray to release that gift in us in different situations. I'm not talking about flattery here or about a Pollyanna approach to things where we never see anything wrong with anything. And sometimes we can be guilty of using compliments to elevate ourselves, butter the other person up to get in their good favor, whatever, can't we? But that isn't what the Bible's talking about here. And this encouragement it talks about as being is genuine, deep, creative, and life-giving. And I just want to let's look at a few ways we can practice giving encouragement to other people. Early in the same letter in 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives some insight into this practice. He says, 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." The Greek in the New Testament for this word encourage more than just saying nice things, more than just giving a compliment or something like that. It's just calling out something deeper in that person, identifying some, discerning what is best for them or in them, and kind of encouraging that, bringing them that out in them. Each person is unique. And as we would picture the perfect earthly parent discerning in each of their children exactly the gifts, actually the things that need to be encouraged and highlighted in that person, so it is. God does that, but also, Paul says that's what I was trying to do with you. Just see those things, see those gifts in you, and bring that encouraging, comforting, and urging. And also, Scripture and God Himself do a lot of encouraging for us. And Paul, in his second letter to Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, has this these wonderful words. "May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." If God has encouraged you through the Holy Spirit, through Scripture, whatever way, There's no more powerful way to encourage someone else than to offer that which you have received from the Lord to them. And while we usually think in terms of speaking words of encouragement, writing them is also a powerful way of sharing them. And sometimes we can maybe share things more insightful, deeper, better wisdom by taking the time to write a note to a person to encourage them. You know, I've sometimes, in my years of ministry, had people take out a note. Sometimes it's in their Bible or something, like take out something that someone shared with them years and years ago, 20 years ago or whatever, a note that somebody shared with them that was an encouraging note to them. And they said, you know, whenever I really get down on myself and really feel beat up, I take this out and I read it, and it just kind of helps me again and encourages me. I think, wow, I wonder if that person has any clue what they gave that person in that note that they took the time to write. Acts of service are another wonderful way to encourage people. In fact, when we see somebody really struggling and are capable of helping, if we just cheer them on when they're exhausted and really need some more tangible support, it can kind of sound hollow. So if we're in a position to really help when somebody's exhausted, we ought to jump in there. You know, one of the ways we can do that even is through generous giving of money sometimes. If somebody is just really in a hard spot, it can be a wonderful means of encouragement. There's all kinds of ways the Holy Spirit can lead us to encourage one another. Famous early American author Nathaniel Hawthorne was a heartbroken man when he went home to tell his wife, Sophia, that he had just been fired from his job at the custom house. His wife, Sophia, surprised him with an exclamation of joy. She said, "Now you can write your book." "Oh, yes," Nathaniel said, "but, you know, what are we going to live on while I'm writing it?" Well, to his amazement, she opened a drawer and pulled out a substantial amount of money. He said, "Where on earth did you get that?" Sophia responded, "I've always known you were a man of genius. I knew someday you would write a masterpiece. So every week, out of the money you gave me for housekeeping, I saved a little bit. So here is enough to last us for a whole year." From her discernment, confidence, and encouragement came one of the great American novels, The Scarlet Letter. Encouragers create an emotional context in which life change can occur. If you think about the best changes in your life, I'll bet in most of those, there was someone to give you some encouragement in that. Someone who believed in you. Negative, critical, judgmental people tend to discourage us, make us feel impotent to change, powerless to become better people. On the other hand, encouragers energize and empower us. Hebrews 3:13 is a good closing admonition for us. Encourage one another daily, so long as it is called today. Please join me in prayer. Oh God, just open our eyes, we pray, to the ways that you have that we can use this gift you've placed in our hands to encourage each other. And Lord, if any of us here this morning are just feeling really beat up and kind of down this morning, pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, through the Word, through the worship, that they might receive that encouragement through the celebration of the Lord's Supper, through all these means of grace, Lord, that you will encourage them, strengthen them, build them up, and put a word on the lips of someone in this congregation to maybe offer that word that they need this morning as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.